folks, welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris once again. Hello, folks, and welcome back to Indaba Africa. This is Chris coming to you from central Pennsylvania. It's time for Indaba Africa News of the Day. Today, the 3rd of May, 2021. Today's headlines. Tulani Mahola's funneling of money to the African National Congress and the Economic Freedom Fighters is laid bare by investigative journalist site Ama Bungane. Former Spur Restaurant chief executive Pierre Van Tonder survived an apparent attempted suicide on the 2nd of May. The African National Congress's energy minister, Gwede Mantashe, is implicated in a corrupt tender for Car Powership, a Turkish company which received a multi-year, multi-billion dollar contract to take converted cargo ships and deliver electricity to South Africa because the government's corrupt enterprise, Eskom, can't manage to do so. The Eastern Cape, Port Elizabeth, dams are critically low, water resources running short in the Eastern Cape, particularly around Port Elizabeth, as water levels reach record lows there. 16 soldiers in the Tahoua region of western Niger near the border with Mali were killed in an encounter with apparent bandits. Niger's President Bazoum makes education a priority for his new administration. And SADC has come up with a 3,000-troop proposal to deploy to Cabo Delgado in response to the ongoing ghoulish insurgency taking place in northern Mozambique. Zambia and Angola have signed a $5 billion U.S. pipeline deal to bring refined petroleum products from Angola to Zambia. The Armed Forces of Liberia's United Nations mission in Mali continues, and a Millennium Challenge compact in Liberia wraps up after 5 years. In Nigeria, Nigeria's Azman Air is back in the air once again after having been grounded. The airline has returned to the skies. And in other airline news, TAP Air Portugal plane in Guinea-Bissau sheared off its sharklet as it taxied in Guinea-Bissau. Manchester United hooligans invade Old Trafford and embarrass themselves with their shameful conduct. And finally, Apollo, an investment group, is buying Yahoo from Verizon for $5 billion U.S. dollars. Those are the headlines, folks. Let me get into the actual news now and get you up to date. As I said, there is an investigative report by Ama Bungane, the investigative website, and it says that millions out, billions in, part one. This is the first of a two-part story that they're running. Mahola's investment, ANC, and EFF kept everyone sweet. That's right. Politically connected businessman Tulani Mahola, recipient of billions in questionable government contracts, has artfully played both sides of the political aisle, handing out millions to ANC causes and to EFF leader Julius Malema, often in the same period. Mahola's company, LTE Consulting, made regular headlines in its role in a water project in Guyana, which failed to bring water but cost taxpayers $3 billion. Well, there you have it, folks. The corruption just never ends at the African National Congress. It never ends. This story reported by Ambugani, also appearing in the Daily Maverick today. Sad news, with former Spur chief executive Pierre Van Tonder having survived a suicide attempt. Not sad they survived, but sad that he actually attempted to take his life. He was with Spur for 38 years, and he was the managing director and CEO for 24 of those years. Very successful career. It's unknown what happened. Spur, the restaurant itself, currently has 640 franchise restaurants under the Spur, Panarottis, Husser Grill, and John Dory brands. John Dory, of course, being the seafood brand. Panarottis is the Italian brand, and Spur, the steakhouse brand. So, unfortunate. The lockdown has hit the company, but they are beginning to rebound. Sales declined by almost 30% to $2.9 billion in the 6 months ending December 31st. But the group has survived that. Not sure what happened here with Pierre Van Tonder. Perhaps something personal is going on. South Africa's energy minister. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The Mineral Resources and Energy Minister and ANC Chair Gwede Mantashe and his wife Nolwandle Mantashe have been implicated by a losing bidder in the project to provide emergency power generation. Consequences of this corruption scandal could be immense for both South Africa's energy and for the ANC's ability to retain power. What we're talking about here is the awarding of a contract to a Turkish company called Car Powership. And Car Powership takes converted cargo ships and turns them into electrical power generating stations, which are anchored offshore, and then run their cables onshore. Yeah, just another corruption scandal with the African National Congress. Clearly a party that has lost its way and forgotten that it's there to govern for the people, not govern the people. Eastern Cape drought. Nelson Mandela Bay's dams are drying up. Yes, and they're quite low at this point. The two major dams for the Eastern Cape's biggest metro, Nelson Mandela Bay, are running dry with no major rain in the forecast. They are facing an unprecedented water crisis. This will bring to mind, of course, the Western Cape and Cape Town a few years ago. I suspect that if we take a closer look at it, we'll see that the situation is very different. The situation in Cape Town was exacerbated by very poor water management, not to imply that the water management is better in Port Elizabeth, but it is a question. The thing is, there's a lot less people in the Port Elizabeth metro area. In Cape Town, we're talking about 3.5 to 5 million people that depend on that water. And in Port Elizabeth and the surrounding areas, include Uitenhag and Dispatch, we're talking 1.3 million people. So less, about a third or quarter of the people in Cape Town. But the dams are running dry, and this has been a long simmering problem for the Eastern Cape. And it does put the area in a bit of trouble. Now, of course, the first culprit will be climate change. And no doubt climate plays a role in the decreased water levels and water flow. But I suspect, much like most of South Africa's problems, climate change is just a contributing factor and not the proximate cause. I suspect, without having investigated this, and I will investigate this story, that mismanagement probably plays a large role and abuse of water resources. 16 soldiers killed in Western Niger, an attack by bandits in the Taoua region, near Mali's border, wounded 6 other soldiers. During the attack by the bandits on Saturday, the toll was 16 dead, 601 missing. The vast area of Taoua in West Niger borders Mali and Burkina Faso and has been plagued by this violence since 2012. Niger's President Mohamed Bazoum is making education reform a priority. No doubt this would be very helpful. In fact, if he has progress, much of what Niger has focused on throughout its entire period of independence since 1960 has been on either stealing from the people or providing for the security state. And so development has been left to foreign actors to pour money in. And now it looks as if they got a president who is actually going to focus on something that really could make a major difference in Niger. You educate people, you lower birth rates, you improve their prospects, and things tend to get better. Yeah, the other regimes in the past have poor governance, inadequate infrastructure, and decline in the quality of education are among the ills that plague the sector, according to Abdul Karim Mahamadou with Africa News. SADC is going to propose a 3,000-strong rapid response force to take on Mozambique's jihadists. Now, this is a story from Peter Fabricius, came out last week, but I thought it bared mentioning today since we're not hearing any information about what's happening in Cabo Delgado province. But I think the real issue here is this proposed force of 2,916 soldiers, the 3 light infantry battalions of 630 troops each, 2 special forces squadrons of 70 troops, 2 attack helicopters, 2 armed helicopters, 2 surface patrol ships, 1 submarine, 1 maritime surveillance aircraft, as well as logistical support equipment and personnel. There you go. But the thing is that where is the SADC standby brigade? Where is the ASERC? Where is the AU standby? Non-existent here, not even available. So SADC has to do, once again, yet another ad hoc mission. The assessment mission was comprised of South African, Angolan, Botswana, Malawi, and Tanzanian, Zimbabwean experts, intelligence, air, ground, maritime, military operations, communications, and logistics. And it was led by Brigadier Muku Komani of Botswana, who chairs the SADC security organ at the moment. So this force of 3,000, we have no idea when it will be assembled, where it will be disembarked, and what its mission will be. It's not clear at this time. I'm not really sure what a submarine is going to do for them. Maritime surveillance aircraft, okay, I'll buy that. Logistical support aircraft, of course. Special forces squadrons, got that. 2 attack helicopters seems a bit light. Going to need more than that. Zambia and Angola signed a $5 billion oil pipeline. It's to transport petrol, diesel, kerosene, and gas from Angola to Zambia. This will help out Zambia's economy immensely once it's built. It was a 10-year complex negotiation that led to this so that Zambia can get cheaper prices for fuel. Petroleum pipeline will be developed by the private sector with state-owned petroleum Angolan firm Sanango. I always have a hard time saying that one. Sanango and the Zambia State Industrial Development Corporation. The Armed Forces of Liberia's soldiers who've been on peacekeeping missions in Mali since 2013 seem to be doing quite well. They've deployed as many as 200 people at a time to the region. And unfortunately, they have had casualties back in 2017. They had 2 soldiers killed and 1 wounded, or 1 wounded and 2 killed back in 2017. But the mission seems to be going quite well. And the U.S.-trained Liberian Army has been named a force for good as a way of differentiating it from Samuel Doe's brutal forces. The Army's Chief General Prince Charles Johnson III said that we've had 1 soldier killed in action, 2 wounded in action, all took place in May 2017. Now, I take a bit of pride in this. This is the army that I was responsible for rebuilding And Prince Johnson was a private when I first met him, and we put him through officer candidate school and became a lieutenant, along with the current defense minister, Zia Khan. So AFL seems to be doing well. Millennium Challenge Compact closes a project in Liberia. The compact was being administered by Millennium Challenge account established back in 2015, and it invested $257 million U.S. dollars in energy and road projects, which yielded the rebuilding of the Mountain Coffee Dam that had been destroyed during the Civil War. Now, this is a five-year project with the U.S. government, but also included Germany, Norway, and the European Investment Bank, and there you have it. So the myth, the lie that the Chinese are doing all of the infrastructure development in Africa is simply put to rest once again, as yet another project is laid open for people to see. The project has improved the lives of Liberia's people's access to 4% to 12% of electricity. 82,000 customers connected. Tariffs reduced from 57 cents to 35 cents per kilowatt hour with commissioning of the Mount Coffee Hydro Project. So you can see a tangible impact here of what has happened. Asmin Air is cleared to resume flights after a month and a half being on the ground. They were cleared by Nigerian aviation authorities to resume flying following a six-week grounding of their aircraft. The Nigerian Civil Aviation Authority suspended Asmin Air in mid-March after several incidents involving the undercarriage on a Boeing 737. So they're back in the air. The thing is, a piece fell off the plane. During takeoff from Kaduna Airport, a component of the aircraft was observed to have fallen off. ATC Air Traffic Control notified the captain, who elected to continue the flight to Lagos. Upon arrival in Lagos, the captain failed to make an entry in the aircraft technical logbook. Asmin Air Maintenance was told that something might have fallen off the plane upon inspection, identified the missing part as being the heat shield from the number 3 landing gear. Well, that's not an airline I want to fly with. Speaking of airlines in difficulty, TAP Air Portugal's Airbus A330neo, one of the newer aircraft, was damaged as its wingtips struck a light pole. This was sustained damage to ground collision at the Osvaldo Fiera International Airport in Guinea-Bissau. The impact of the lamppost while taxiing caused the aircraft involved to lose one of its wingtips. The little sharklet was sheared off from the plane. And Manchester United hooligans mount protest against U.S. owners as Premier League match against Liverpool postponed. It's a very innocuous and, you know, kind-sounding sort of title, but the reality is that these hooligans, these criminals, broke into Old Trafford and occupied the field. They should all be rounded up and locked into police custody. Greater Manchester Police said over 1,000 protesters had gathered at Old Trafford, while around another 200 had congregated outside the Lowry Hotel, where the United players were staying ahead of the match. That match was postponed, and we're yet to hear if it's been rearranged or when it's going to be rescheduled for. We understand and respect the strength of feeling, but condemn all acts of violence, criminal damage, and trespass, especially given the associated COVID-19 breaches, said the Premier League in its statement. Well, I don't respect anything these people did. They should all be locked up. And finally today, folks, Apollo buys Yahoo and AOL from Verizon for $5 billion. The wireless company Verizon, which is also a fixed line provider, retreats from the media sector, but it's going to retain a 10% stake in digital media business. So they're selling off majority ownership of it. Yes, Verizon Media, which includes Yahoo and AOL, had about $7 billion in revenue last year. And Apollo Global Management agreed to buy majority stake for $5 billion. Now, they're paying $4.25 billion in cash for majority stake in assets and providing Verizon with interest in the business totaling $750 million. Verizon will keep a 10% stake in the new company called Yahoo that will be formed to operate the business. This is unfortunate. Yahoo is one of the early pioneers in the internet and lost its way more than once, and then it was snatched up by Verizon a couple years ago. Tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people around the world rely on Yahoo for either news and or more importantly for their email accounts. Yahoo.com, Yahoo.co.uk, and so on and so forth, .fr, .de, all these sites around the world, people have Yahoo accounts. Yahoo Instant Messenger disappeared, which was a very popular program, but that's long gone. We'll see what happens as things go forward here with Yahoo. But be prepared, you may have to create a new email account that you can count on. I've had my Yahoo email account since about 1996, maybe 97, I think somewhere in that time frame. And I've had my GeoCities, which Yahoo purchased since 1995. Long time. Well, folks, that's the news, the headlines, the news and analysis for today, the 3rd of May, 2021, here on Indaba African News of the Day. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate your patronage. We'll catch you here next time on Indaba Africa News of the Day. Or you can catch me on my live streams on YouTube. the Stray Voltage or the Night Owls Edition. Thanks a lot, folks. We'll catch you next time. God bless.